to the teaching ministry of Pastor Jay Eberle. Get ready to be empowered through the understanding of God's Word.
Praise the Lord. If you brought your Bible this evening, go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 14. And we're going to share some things that started stirring in my heart on Monday here this week. And I know some of these things might be something you've heard before. But yet, right on the other hand, I believe we can continually grow in all the revelation we already have, don't you? I'm going to grow. If you don't want to, then I'm going to go on. You want to. I'm just messing with you, trying to stir you up a little bit. Amen. Provoking you to love and to good works. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Look with me at verse number, let's just read here, verse number, chapter 14, verse number 10. He said, this might seem like an unusual verse, but you'll see as we go what this is talking about. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. There are many voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. Now, that sounds like, you know, pulling that out of the context and everything, you might wonder, what on earth am I talking about, or what's the Bible talking about? But he's talking about, really, the context is prophesying and making the sound of the Spirit in prophesying. And he said, there are many things in the world, there are many things in the world, many voices in the world, and even in the spirit world that somebody can give voice to. And he said, there are voices in the spirit world is what he's talking about. And whenever a man prophesies, he's speaking out of the voice he's hearing in the spirit realm, the voice of God. And of course, there's other voices in that realm than just the voice of God. How many of you know there are demonic voices and so forth? We're not interested in those tonight. But there's many voices in the spirit world, and you have a voice as well. And your voice in the spirit realm, as we'll see tonight, is has significance just as much as other voices in the spirit realm. Your voice affects the realm of the spirit. Whenever you speak, things in the spirit realm respond to your voice. In other words, your voice has signification, or we would put it this way, significance. Your voice has significance. And the reason is because God put you in authority in your life. Your voice, what you say, is significant. What you say has consequences or implication, in other words. It carries weight. It has power. In fact, when the Bible says that, there in Genesis, God gave man authority, have dominion, you know. The Bible said that God gave dominion, and of course, Jesus restored that dominion back to us. This is the way that you take dominion. In other words, your voice, your words. This is the way you take dominion. The dominion you have works through your words. No words, your dominion's not working for you. Wrong words, your dominion's not working for you. The right words in line with God's words will have significance because God watches over your words to perform what you say. Because if his words are in your mouth, then he owns them and he has made himself responsible for his own word. And if we are standing on his word, speaking his word, he has obligated himself. Somebody say, well, you're trying to make God do something. No, he has obligated himself to back those words up. He is the apostle and high priest of man's confession. Now, I said a whole lot of things very, very, very quickly right there, that it'd be good for you to go ahead and get a hold of the recording of it and write those things down. There's a lot of verses we're going to look at tonight that'll confirm those things that I just said. Amen. And I'm trusting the Holy Ghost that this will come alive in us tonight. Amen. You know, we know about speaking words and the significance of our words to a degree, but in standing in being around people, I realize we've got to keep on teaching on this. Because, you know, we're not as guarded with our words as we should be.
Come on. Come on.
And we need to go back through these truths some more.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And look at them. Can you develop more faith in your own words tonight? How many of you are awake tonight? Right there's a good place to start your confession. I am awake. I am alert. Can you do me a favor on Wednesday nights? Do me a favor. How many of you want to do Pastor a bigger favor on Wednesday night? Get your day off of you before you get in church.
Get your day off of
you. Amen. Are you ready to get the word tonight? Pastor friend of mine out in California, he's not from California, but we saw him in California this past week, said, actually his wife told on him. She said twice in the last, he's pastored for 25 years or something like that. Twice in 25 years, he got to preaching, got about 15 minutes in and said, folks, you aren't here tonight. Go on home. I'm closing right now. So he closed his Bible and walked off. I don't want to do that tonight. Tell your neighbor, he's not going to do that tonight. No, I'm not going to do that tonight because you're here to get something, aren't you? You're here. You may as well get something. Amen. Just a little loving nudge. How many of you like those little helps along the way? I mean, amen. So we're going to get some more. I believe that we ought to be very. In other words, our words ought to be important to us. It ought to be important what we're saying. And listen, just not saying anything is not enough. He can't watch over nothing to perform it. He's watching over his word to perform it. That's Jeremiah 1. We'll get there eventually tonight, I think. But so the words of our mouth, in other words, let's put it this way, based on the way this verse says this, there are many voices in the world. You have a voice. And he's saying your voice is significant. The reason your voice is significant is because God gave you authority. And the way you exercise authority is through your words. In fact, our words put spiritual forces to work for us. I want you to know it's not just something natural that, you know, they can see the sound waves, you know, under with certain ways they can see sound waves. But it's just not something, your voice is not just something significant in the natural world. Your voice is significant in the spiritual world. In fact, your voice is your address in the spirit. When you speak, things either come or go from those words. Come or go from you, because that's your address. Let's get some utterance tonight. You believe in God with me for utterance tonight? Your voice, is significant because what you say, God said in Mark 11:23, you have what you say. Now, think about it this way. You can put your voice to many different things. There are many thoughts that come to your mind, come to my mind. Some of them are just human, just natural. Some of them they're from a source in the spirit realm. Not all of them, you realize they're just natural thoughts. But there are thoughts that have their beginning. In other words, they came from something in the spirit realm. Something in the spirit realm or someone in the spirit realm said that. You realize there's more of that than what folks are willing to admit. Somebody said, well, that person heard a voice. They need the devil cast out of them. Not so. If that's so, then Jesus needed the devil cast out of him, which is heresy.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Because the Bible said Satan spoke to him in Luke 4 and said, cast yourself off the pinnacle of the temple and all these things. We got to catch what's coming to us. And not just kind of, well, you know, I don't know, just kind of have a mushy mind. No, if it's got a source, death and life are attached to it. And it's coming to us in order to get to light. It's coming to our mind in order to light up our tongue so that we can say, whatever it came from or whoever it came from wants us to say it so that it'll either affect our life going and push our life the wrong direction or push it the right direction. Like I said, there are natural thoughts that aren't near as significant. You know, 2 + 2, well, I can figure that out. That's 4. That doesn't affect the spirit realm at all. You understand? But I'm talking about these other things that you know, like, well, I just I can't make it, or I'm not going to have enough, or, you know, I'm just dumb, or, you know. There's sources to those things. The devil works on people to get them to think that, to get them to believe that, and then ultimately to get them to say it.
That's right. Come on.
Speak the right things over your children.
That's right. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Because they have significance. So what I'm saying is that there's many different things you can put voice to. There's many things you could say. And there are things that come from the spirit realm that whenever a man says it, the spirit realm responds to it. Let me give you a couple of verses, and we won't turn to these, but just to think about them. Psalm 103, verse number 20, talks about, bless the Lord, ye his servants, ye his hosts, ye his ministering spirits. That's what he's talking about, the angels that hearken to the voice of his word. The word voice in the Hebrew means the calling aloud of God's word. Someone said they hearken to God if he speaks. Absolutely, absolutely. But how many of you know you can speak God's word? You can call it aloud. You remember when Daniel had that angel come to him, and Daniel, what is that? Daniel 12, I believe, whatever that is. Daniel, that angel came to him and said, I am come for thy words. Daniel was praying the word of God. He found Jeremiah's prophecy, and he was praying that. And the angel said, I am come for thy words. The words that he came from were in a man's mouth. God, who was the originator of those words, whom Jeremiah prophesied about their deliverance from bondage. That's what Daniel was praying about, Jeremiah's prophecy about how long they would be in Babylonian captivity. So God was the originator of them. He got a man to speak them, Jeremiah, and then a man prayed and claimed those promises and took them back to God, and an angel came and said, I'm come for your words. I'm come for your words. Those were God's words in a man's mouth, and an angel responded to them.
Come on.
That's in your Bible.
Yes.
And that's what Psalm 103:20 is talking about. They hearken, the ministering spirits, the angels hearken to the voice or the calling aloud of his word, of the word of God. Praise the Lord. And guess what? If you're the one that called it aloud, the angels come to your address. That's your voice is your address in the spirit realm.
That's so good. Amen.
Now listen. If you'll pull tonight, we'll get what people call a classic sermon, and you'll be able to say, "I was there when that was preached." Because we're getting some help tonight. Praise the Lord. Now think about another verse. I don't know if you've ever thought about this one. This is 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, verse number 10. You're in chapter 14, but if you want to just turn back there real quickly, it's not far away. Praise God. 1 Corinthians 10, verse number 10. Neither murmur ye, that means complain. How many of you do that? Whenever a person does that, they do that with their mouth. Neither murmur or complain, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. The destroyer in that case is Satan. So he's talking about the children of Israel back in the Old Testament, how they complained and they were destroyed in the wilderness. Their life was cut short. Here he's saying to us, don't do what they did so you don't get what they got. What's he saying? Yeah, watch your mouth. But what he's saying is the spirit realm responds to your words. The spirit realm responds to your words. Can you see it? And so when he says here in 1 Corinthians 14:10, your words, all voices have significance. He's saying your voice has significance in your life. Because really, God gave you authority. That's why, and the way you exercise your authority is through your words. Your words carry weight. They have consequences. They have implication. They have authority. In fact, your words have more authority in your life than anyone else's words have in your life.
Yeah.
Somebody said, well, they said so-and-so about me. I don't want that to come to pass. No. If you don't receive those words and speak against those words, what they said doesn't have as much significance in your life as your words have in your life. I'm not near as concerned what everybody else is saying as I am what I'm saying. They don't have authority in my life if I don't receive what they say. That's why what the doctor says, you don't need to fuss about what the doctor, you don't need to say, don't say that. You go away and you say, well, Lord, I know I'll have what I say. He said that, but I say I'll live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. That has more significance than the rest of the world all put together. Your words have more significance. Amen. Now listen, I'm going to say something that might make you choke and, you know, spit out your false teeth. So grab them before they go on the floor. You won't have to sanitize them. But your words even have more significance in your life than God's words. What? No way. No, listen to the way I said it. I didn't say they have more significance. I said your words have more significance in your life.
Yeah.
Not, they don't have more significance than God's, but I mean in your life, yours have more significance than God's word.
Yes, sir. Yes,
sir. Even though God said it, you won't have it because he said it. You'll have it because you said it. Because your words are more significant. You have more authority in your life than God. Someone go, God's sovereign. He's got authority over all. Well, why don't he make everybody get saved? Why don't he make everybody come to church? Make everybody pay their tithes? Make everybody live right?
Yeah, come on.
He can't. Somebody said he can do anything. No, he can't make anybody do anything. He made us free moral agents.
Yes, sir.
We have a will.
That's really good. Come on.
We're not robots. We don't have to just do every little thing God says, you know, like a robot. With a computer program in it, you know. No, we have a free will. And so we can choose to say what he says. He wants us to say what he says so he can do what he wants to do. But if we choose not to, we can say something opposite and we'll get what we said, whether God's will was for something else to happen or not. We'll get what we said. I said we'll get what we said. Really, the implication of what a man says has never really been understood by natural man. But we're not natural.
Right.
Hallelujah. We're growing up spiritually. Amen. So when you say it, it starts moving. Your voice is your address. If you say go, it goes. If you say come, it comes. Somebody said, oh, I don't think that's so. Well, go over to, well, not now, in your, not literally, but in your mind. Think about Luke 7, whenever that centurion said, I say, I'm a man under authority. I say go, and this man goes. I say come, and this man comes. And Jesus said, that's the way faith works. I've not found faith like that in all Israel.
That's right. Come on.
Isn't that what the Bible says? When Mark 11, 23 says, "Be," you can say, be removed and cast in the sea, it'll obey you. He's talking about what you say will move things.
That's right.
You can move them away from you or bring them to you.
Amen.
Some people's mouth is moving money away from them whenever it's really all around them. What they need is all around them. They just need to call it home. Just start telling it, here, come here, come here, in the name of Jesus, come here. Someone said, that's foolish. You know that won't hear you. Well, Jesus talked to some things that natural people don't think would hear them. He spoke to a fig tree. He spoke to wind and waves. He spoke to fevers. He spoke to dead people. He spoke to demons. He spoke to... So the natural realm and the spirit realm heard him. Because he spoke to demons and they left. He spoke to angels. He said, I can call 12 legion of angels right now and tell them to come, and they'd come and help me and get me out of this crucifixion. But see, it was the will of God, so he went through with it. Isn't that what he said? He said, I can call them right now. We got to understand that that's who we are. They'll respond to our words. But also the spirit realm will. Somebody said, well, you know money isn't going to come to you by calling it. Well, no, I don't know that. I've been doing it now for all these years, and it's been working for me. You don't believe it, and you don't do it. It doesn't work for you. I believe it, and I do it, and it works for me. Oh, it's just a thing. Well, yeah, like a tree, just a thing. In fact, it's made out of a tree.
That's right.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Well, it's paper anyway, so. For all those doubters out there. Implication of these words that we speak is amazing. Amen. So. Whenever we say it, the spirit realm responds to bring it to pass. Whether God or the devil. They're all perched waiting for what you say. They're all hearkening to their own words to see if you're going to say them. They all watch whether God or the devil or demons, they all, or angels on God's side. They all watch over God's words or their own words. If it's God's word that he spoke, God watches over that to perform it. We know that from Jeremiah 1, what is that, verse 12. We'll get there, I think, eventually. But then Satan also, he watches over his words. He says something, he comes to yakety yak, yes, says something to your mind, puts a thought in your mind of defeat, failure, sickness, premature death, you know, divorce, whatever. And then he wants to see if you'll say that. And if you'll say it, he said, I'll watch over that and I'll do that. You gave me authority to do that because you said it. I'm preaching better than your amen. That's the way things start and that's the way things stop. By taking a thought and saying it. Jesus said, don't take the wrong thoughts saying them. Don't take thoughts saying, where are we going to get the money? How are we going to get through? I don't know. I just don't have enough strength or something. You know, whatever. Can you say amen?
Amen?
It's not what you have in your heart or what you believe in your heart that moves things. It's what you or I say. Nowhere in the Bible does it say, if you just believe it, it'll come to pass. Your authority is in your mouth. In your heart first, but then also in your mouth. Can you say it? Can you say amen?
Amen.
So just in your heart alone, that's not enough. Your belief has to be in your mouth for it to move it, for it to come to pass. Now, go to 2 Corinthians 13, verse number 1. 2 Corinthians 13. We'll give you some illustrations and it'll help you as we go here tonight. Praise the Lord. I have faith that what I say comes to pass. Sometimes we limit ourselves whenever we say, have faith in God. Have faith in God. We just we kind of have him out there, you know, kind of like. But how about have faith in God means faith in his word that we believe in our heart and say out of our mouth. Have faith in his words that we say. Now that brings it down home. Rather than kind of vague like, oh God, you know, God out there in the universe, God. How about the words he spoke that I put in my mouth, he watches over them to do it.
Yeah, to do it. Amen.
To do it. Praise the Lord. That gets us out of the nebulous, you know. It's kind of nebulous out there. God, God. 2 Corinthians 13, verse number 1. Paul said, this is the third time I'm coming to you. And he's quoting a verse here now when he says the rest of this. This is from the Old Testament. In fact, Deuteronomy 19, 15. But he says, God said this in the Old Testament, in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. Now, that's a verse you ought to get a hold of. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. So really what he's saying is, God has said some things, and you can hear him talking to your heart. The devil says some things, and he'll start talking to your mind. In the circumstance or situation you're in. Anybody in a circumstance or situation?
Come on.
All of us are. Right now, something, trying to happen. If it's not happening, it's trying to happen. And there's something coming to your mind about it. And God's talking to your heart about it. The word you've heard in church is coming up out of your heart about it. Isn't it right? So God has said some things and the devil's saying some things about this situation. Isn't that right? So what he's saying is, both of them have said some things about your situation, but neither of them have two witnesses. They need a witness. Down here, for Satan to do in your life what he wants to do, or God to do in your life what he wants to do, both of them need a witness in the earth. You understand what I'm talking about? So since you're in authority in the earth, what happens in your life will only happen as God or Satan have a witness. Since you're in authority. Satan can't just push his will off on you, and God can't and won't just push his will off on you. You realize that they don't have the authority to do that. If we don't want God, he won't force his way into our life. Now, Satan will try, but he still has to have your consent. He still has to get you to say it and agree with it. So both of them, they're waiting on a witness. When you say what you say, the author of the words watches over those words to perform them. If they are God's words, God said, now those are my words, I will watch over. Now I'm going to go to work to bring those to pass. And Satan can't do anything about it. He's bound because you didn't speak his words. over on the other side, God's word saying something, Satan's word saying something, and you say what Satan says. Oh, it just seems like we're not going to be able to pay the bills. It's just so hard, just so hard. He's pressuring you, trying to get you to say it. As soon as you say that, Satan says, I'm watching over those words to perform them. They said it, and so now I'm going to be able to act. They gave me the authority. They gave me the authority by saying it to bring it to pass. And God said, they're not my words. I can't do anything with that. You have tied God's hands. Someone said, now that just goes against everything I've heard in church growing up all my life. Well, you need something to go against your religion. I'm not just saying something that I believe. I'm saying what the Bible says. Malachi 3, 13 and 14. Malachi 3, 13 and 14 says, your words, God's saying, your words have been stout against me. You look up the word stout. It means to bind, to restrain, to limit, and so forth and so on. He said, your words have bound me. Your words have limited me. Now, maybe not in other people's lives, but in our lives. Because we are have the highest authority in our lives of anybody. So God's saying, your words have been stout against me. They said, well, what have we spoken so much stout against you? He said, you've said it's vain to serve God and to keep his ordinance. You look at the context as the ordinance of tithing. So he's saying, although you are tithing, yet your words speak against your tithing. Yeah. And so what would have worked for you, now you're speaking again, so you've bound me up. Wrong words. See, that doesn't sound like the sovereignty of God. God is just sovereign and he can just do anything he wants to do. That doesn't sound like that. Now go over to Psalm 78. If you can handle any more. Tell your neighbor, I'm going to get as much as I can here tonight. Psalm 78. We've gone through all these truths, but how many of you sure enjoy hearing them again? I'm telling you, I can't get enough of the message of faith. If you can, something wrong with you. You're sick. Spiritually. Listen, if you don't want physical food anymore, you're sick. Something wrong. If you're not, for 3 days, you haven't been hungry, something wrong physically. Well, if you can't stand any more of the preaching on faith, something wrong spiritually. Something wrong. You've been running at both ends. Something ain't right. Psalm 78, verse 41. Psalm 78. He said, yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. These are the people of God at Kadesh Barnea is what he's talking about. They turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. Sometimes people don't think God can be limited, but he can in their lives by their words. Verse 41 doesn't say how they limited him other than it says they turned back. But go back to verse 18 in that same chapter, Psalm 78, 18. They tempted God. Isn't that what he talked about over in verse 41? They tempted God. Here in verse 18 is a little more information. They tempted God in their hearts by asking meat for their lust. Yea, they spake against God. They said, how did they speak against God? Did they use four-letter words and curse his name? Well, that's speaking against God, all right. But how did these people speak against God? They spake against God and they said, see, this is how they spoke against him. They spake against him and said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? They just said, well, we don't think God can do this. How's God going to take care of this? That's called limiting God. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Their words limited him. You put those two verses together, you can see that. They spoke against God. You can speak against God just by saying, I don't think we're going to make it. I don't know where we're going to get the money. Well, since when do you know it all? If you say, I don't know where, that doesn't mean, just because you don't know doesn't mean there's no way.
Thank you. Come on. Yes, sir. Come on. Yep.
There is a way. For you saying you don't know, all you're doing is saying, I'm human. I don't know everything.
Yep. Come on. Come on.
But you shut God down by saying that. Because you're really speaking it in unbelief, saying there is no way and it won't happen. And God said, those aren't my words. I can't do anything about that. And the angels are standing by because they wait for the calling aloud of God's word. So can you see that? Those are just two verses. There's more. Actually, let's go to another one. Go to Hebrews 3, verse number 1. If you can kind of go quickly, we're just going to show you these verses. I think it's important that we turn to them. Hebrews. Praise the Lord. This is changing your life. Changing your life. You're not going to go to bed thinking complaining words and speaking complaining words and talking defeat and talking bound, talking oppressed, talking, tormented in my mind, talking all this stuff. How many of you know, talk your redemption? Say amen. You know, Psalm 107, verse number 2, let the redeemed of the Lord say they are redeemed. Let the redeemed of the Lord talk about their redemption. People say, well, you know, God's sovereign. He can do anything he wants. No, if you say that, you're basically saying you don't understand redemption. Redemption works through words. You know, somebody said, well, I'm saved by God's grace. You realize God's grace is just as much the sinner's out there as it is yours. Why are you saved and he's not? Because redemption works by words. It's available by grace, but it works through faith. And words are how you release your faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Whoever shall believe in his heart and confess with his mouth, the Lord Jesus shall be saved.
Right.
You see, you couldn't even get saved without speaking words.
Come on.
You had to confess Jesus as Lord. Speak, he's my Savior, before it came to pass. We got to get a hold of this. Tell your neighbor, we're getting a hold of this. Hallelujah. So really, your inheritance and all your redemption given to you by God and the plan, all the inheritance in the plan of redemption is not just going to fall on you automatically. It's not going to just happen because God did it. If that was so, then everybody's saved. Because God did everything he's going to do about their salvation. But so what we got to understand is this doesn't just work for salvation. It works for healing. It works for a sound mind. It works for peace. It works for every area of redemption. It works for long life. It works for long life. I say every time I think about it, I'm going to live long and be healthy to a good old age. Actually, I say it about both of us, my wife, Pastor Debbie. We're going to live long. We're going to grow old together and be healthy and strong.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Actually, I'm going to grow old and stay young. Amen. So really, your inheritance, it all works by words, doesn't it? Redemption works through saying so. That's what Psalm 107, verse 2 is talking about. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Really, faith moves God. Faith moves mountains. Listen, faith won't move anything, though, until it moves you. And the first thing it's got to move is your mouth.
Amen.
There are other actions that will go along with your mouth as you get promptings and leadings. But that's where it starts.
Amen.
It's got to move your mouth.
Amen.
You can't move anything without moving your mouth. God won't move your mouth for you. You got to move your mouth. You say it when you don't feel like it. I remember that time I had it wasn't just a pain in my neck. It was startling. I don't know if you ever had startling symptoms. I mean, symptoms that made you wonder, big time. I mean, your mind. I'm talking about your mind. Your heart grabs a hold of the word and holds fast and says the right thing. But anyway, I remember feeling nothing but just walking the floor saying, thank you, Jesus, I got it. Thank you, Lord Jesus, because I had released my faith for it. Thank you, Lord, I got it. And for 3 days, didn't look like anything. I mean, startling pain. Couldn't sleep an hour without having to turn. It was just crazy. Had to walk the floor, get up after an hour of sleep and walk the floor for an hour just to get relief from the pain so I could go back to bed and get another hour of sleep. Startling pain in the neck. I mean, just you couldn't even move. You're kind of like this. And so I just walked the floor for 3 days. Well, not the full 3 days, but especially at night. Because you couldn't get comfortable. You'd lay down, and all these pillows, and I'm sleeping on the couch, and I got a pillow here, and I got a pillow here, just speaking the word.
Yes, sir. Yep.
And I got up, after the third night, I'm just, ha, ha, ha. I'm laughing at the devil, saying, you say, you're trying to lie to me through what I feel. I know what the Word says. And I just held him in that arena, and I kept saying it. And I'll never forget it. At one point. It's like it snapped. I don't mean that I felt anything in my neck snap. I just meant it's like the attack snapped, and it's like the pain started fading away. And I just kept on laughing. Somebody said, you got it. Yeah, I got it back there 3 days ago. I got it 3 days ago. He's just stubborn.
Yeah, yeah. Come on.
Amen. Lying to me.
Yep.
Amen. And it faded away. By the morning, 90% of it was gone. And then the rest faded away over a day or so. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But see, it had to move my mouth. My faith didn't have the power to bring anything to pass without it. In other words, in my heart, it didn't have any power. I had to say it.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. Don't you believe in doctors? Well, I'll go if I have to, but I just didn't have to. It's a lot cheaper anyway. Hebrews 3, verse number 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of what? Our, King James says, profession, Christ Jesus. The margin of my Bible has a letter R over there, and I look over there and it says confession. He's the apostle and high priest of our confession. The word apostle means a sent one. A sent one. So he's the sent one for my confession. He's sent to watch over my confession. And he's the high priest of my confession. Now, with that in mind, go to the 7th chapter of Hebrews. And verse number 22, giving you a lot of verses tonight, but see, at least we're not preaching out of Reader's Digest. We're preaching the Bible. So we find 7th chapter of Hebrews, verse 22, by so much, and if you look at it, that's the oath of God, God's own word, by so much was Jesus made a surety of a better covenant. Or it says testament, that means covenant. Testament or covenant. Jesus is the surety of the better covenant. He's talking about the New Testament.
Yes,
the New Testament. So we could say he's the surety of the New Testament.
Amen.
If you look up the word surety, literally translated, it's bail money. That's the literal translation. But it means, figuratively, it means the guarantee. Jesus is the guarantee of the terms and provisions of the New Covenant. He's the guarantee of it.
Amen.
What do you mean he's the guarantee of it? I'm so glad you asked. Go to Jeremiah. We've been quoting it all night. Ha, 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 ha. We're developing faith in our words. Faith in God's word, I could say. Faith in his word in our mouth. This is building my faith. So we find in Jeremiah 1, it's verse number... Remember, he said, he showed him this vision. He said, what do you see? And Jeremiah told him what he saw. Then he said in Jeremiah 1:12, thus saith the Lord unto him, then said the Lord unto him, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. We always say, and it's accurate in the Hebrew, watch over my word to perform it. I watch over it. I watch over my word to perform it. Now somebody say, what does that mean? It means what Hebrews 7:22 said. Remember what he said? What did he say? He's the guarantee of the New Testament. What's he watching over it to do? What's he watching over it for? Just so whenever we speak it, he said, that's my word. No, he's guaranteeing it and he's performing it. Somebody said, no, that just means he's just watching over everything he said in the Bible, make sure it comes to pass. If that's the case, then he sure is a failure. I didn't say he was. I said, if that's the case. Don't make me say he said he's a failure. I said he's a failure. I said, if the case is that he's just watching over his word in the Bible to make sure it all comes to pass, then he is a stark failure. Because there are millions of Christians that most of the Bible is not coming to pass for.
That's right. That's right. Yes, sir. Come on. Come on.
He failed.
Come on.
If that's the case.
Right. Right.
See, I'm trying to get some of your attention.
Yes, sir.
Get some of that religion out. No, he's not failed. Because he's not watching over the Bible to make sure it comes to pass for you. He's watching over the word in your heart and in your mouth to make sure it comes to pass for you. Because he said you'll have what you say. Hallelujah. I'm building my case. I'm about to wrap the gavel and say, case closed. People have trouble with what I'm preaching tonight, but see, I could take the rest of this evening and preach on Sunday morning about it and go through the end of the month of February, then start it in March and go over more verses and keep on going to the end of the year and wouldn't have exhausted this subject in the Bible. You might think that's an exaggeration, but don't be careful about saying that to a man who's preached this the message of faith for 25 plus years. Preached it in healing school every day for not every week, but every day for a week, and then skip a week and then do it again. It's all through the Bible.
Yes, it is.
That is the message of the Bible, the message of Jesus, obviously, but it's really the message of faith in Jesus. This Bible won't do any good for you if you don't mix faith with it. Well, I see what it says, but I don't know. There you go. God's hands are tied. Those aren't my words. Satan said, they're mine. I'll take them. I'll perform them. Praise the Lord. Lillian B. Yeoman made this statement. She said, God has tied himself irrevocably to human cooperation in the execution of divine purpose. He has made man's faith a determining factor in the work of redemption. That is scriptural, because you and I can't even get saved without our faith. That's the determining factor. Now, somebody said, we're saved by faith. No. We're saved by God's grace through the avenue of our faith. Our faith just simply receives what he's provided by grace. But there's the two sides to that equation. You understand, God's side and man's side. Praise the Lord. So we found that Hebrews 7, Hebrews 3, 1, Jeremiah 1, 12. Then if you look at Matthew 10, 32, you'll find the same principle. This passage has blessed me. It started blessing me years ago, and I was eating on it the other day, and I still got giddy on the inside. Just got up off the bed and started walking around saying some things just because of what this verse said. If you can stand anymore, can you stand? Look at Matthew 10, 32. Matthew 10, 32. This is Jesus in red, right? This is Jesus talking. Whosoever, does that mean you? That means me, so we'll say all of us. Therefore shall confess me before men. Him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. Then he went on to say, whoever denies me before men, him will I deny before my Father which is in heaven. So when he says before men, he's talking about down here on the earth. He's not talking about when we get to heaven. He's talking about down here confessing Jesus. He said me. Notice he didn't say me as Savior. Although that would be part of confessing him, wouldn't it? But I'm saying he's not limiting it to say whoever confesses me as Savior. You can confess him as Shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my peace. The Lord is my refuge. The Lord is my strength. The Lord is in on and on and on and on and on. He's Jehovah Rapha. He's El Shaddai, the Lord my provider. That's all him. So confessing him, he said, you confess me before men. He's talking about down here on this earth. He said, I'll take what you say and I'll pass that on to the Father. When you say it down here, I pick it up in heaven and I say what you said to the Father. Hallelujah. In other words, we are the voice of his word on the earth. He is the voice of our word in heaven. Think about that now in Matthew 18, 18. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound also in heaven.
Amen.
Where does it start?
On earth.
Starts on earth. Now, God got the whole thing started by giving us the authority and giving us the word, but he said, I'm waiting on earth to bind it for us in heaven to back it up. You say it's bound. In heaven, we say, that's bound. We back that up. Satan recognized that authority. When you say it, he recognizes that authority because you're backed up by heaven. The throne of God itself backs you up when you say it. Whoa! How can you sit in your seat? Hallelujah. He's the apostle and high priest of our confession. He watches over his word to perform it. Hallelujah. He's the surety of the new covenant. If we say, I am authorized, Satan, you're bound in this situation. Heaven says, we back that up. You're bound. And when heaven backs us up, hell recognizes that authority. And they say, we're out of here. We're out of here. It's not just us talking when we speak his word. Heaven is talking. That power that in hell defeated Satan. That's what he's up against. That's what he's up against. Oh, hallelujah. But listen, if it goes unspoken, it goes unfulfilled. He'll back it up, but it has to be spoken. It has somebody in authority down here has to say it. And that's us. Somebody said, well, God's in authority. Well, you remember Jesus said, all authority is given unto me in heaven and earth when he rose from the dead. And he said, whenever John saw him, he said, I am him that was dead and alive. I have the keys of death and hell. Then he said, go ye. And whatever you bind is bound. Whatever you loose is loose. So he got the authority all right. That's what he died and went to hell for, to get that back. But then he rose from the dead and gave it back to us. That's what we had lost. We had lost our authority, so he got that back for us. And he delegated it back to us. Just like whenever the policeman sees a crime, he doesn't call the mayor of the city. Because the mayor of the city delegated it to the policeman. So today, he delegated authority to us, and we've got to say it, and then he'll back it up. He'll back it up. Like the mayor of the city will back up the police. But yet, right on the other hand, the policemen are out there. They're the ones on the beat. You're the one down here on the beat. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So if it goes unfulfilled, it goes unspoken. If it goes unspoken, it goes unfulfilled. No matter if it's God's will for you to be free from that or not, if you don't speak to it, it won't be fulfilled. It's time to get louder and not to be so quiet. Some of us have been too quiet. Well, I'm not saying anything bad. Yeah, but you're just not saying anything. The unspoken goes unfulfilled. Grace is God's part, but faith is man's part. If what you see in redemption when you look in the Bible is not alive and well in your experience, it's not God's fault. It's not on God's side. People cry and wonder why God doesn't take care of me. Well, his care was giving you authority and giving you the authority to say something. Hallelujah. Praise God. Call it by faith. Speak to it in faith. Hallelujah. So really, God and the devil are both watching over their own words to bring them to pass, but then they've got to have us say it. They need the second witness. Hallelujah. So when you give voice to something that your life starts going that direction, whether you want it to go that direction or not. So don't say what you don't want. Say what you want. Amen. You say lack, failure, weakness, defeat, or something of that nature. Satan uses those words to steer your life in that direction. We know that. James 3 talks about the tongue and the rudder and turns a ship and turns the horse, you know. I mean, our tongue, he says, just turns our life. But it's God behind our words. He'll back up our words if we speak his words. So, but we speak the wrong things. Satan backs those things up. We speak victory, speak power, strength, success, whatever. God watches over those words to perform them. Amen. So really you could say not taking your words seriously is like driving without taking the steering wheel seriously. Well, I'm just going to sit in the car. How many of you are going to get in the car afterwards tonight and say, I'm just going to sit in the car and I'm just going to push the accelerator. And wherever we go, we go. Ain't nobody here tonight going to do that. I know you. You're smart. So you're not going to do that. Isn't that right? Because you take the steering wheel. See, that steering wheel is how you take dominion over that vehicle and make it go the right direction. Point it the right direction. Turn it, steer it the right direction. Amen. Well, I just don't know why my life's going this direction. Well, did you get a hold of the steering wheel of your life? Case closed. In Numbers 14:28, I'm giving you a lot of verses tonight. After they said, you know, at Kadesh Barnea, we can't go up and possess the land. There's giants in there. They're bigger than us. All those things. God, and that I just gave you that reference, Numbers 28, or 14, did I say 28? I think it was 28. He said, as you've spoken in my ears, so will I do. What had they said? They said, we're all going to die out here in the wilderness. God said, all right, you said it. You said it. As you've spoken in my ears, that's what I'm going to do. Wow. That makes us not want to speak some things in his ears. Somebody said, what if I've been saying the wrong thing? Well, you remember Peter denied Jesus 3 times? When Jesus met him after the resurrection, he asked him 3 times if he loved him, and he made him answer 3 times and reverse all that. So what I'm saying is, start reversing it. Start reversing it. Start turning it. If you've been saying the wrong thing, turn your tongue to go a different direction. Hallelujah. Now, to explain the significance of our words a little bit further before we close down tonight, I'll just use an example. I think I've used it here before, of a home base umpire in a baseball game. And because whenever the pitch comes across the plate, he has to call it. In other words, what he says has significance. Yes, see, that's where we started out tonight. Yep. Your words have significance. And it's like a home base umpire, you know, calling the pitch. Ball, strike, whatever. And so, let's say, you know, a game, it's a big game. It comes down to the final. It's a tied game. Comes down to the final inning. Last inning. Bases loaded. 2 outs. Mm-hmm. You know, three strikes, 2 balls. Or there's 4 strikes. I mean, four balls is a walk, right? It's been a while since I watched baseball. And 3 strikes is an out. So you got the last inning. You know, the last bases full. Two strikes, 3 balls, last pitch, big game. I mean, this call is significant. The pitch gets pitched. The batter doesn't swing. Catcher catches it. The catcher turns around and says, what is it? What do you call it? This actually is a story that I heard said that this actually happened. And this umpire, he looked up at the catcher, and he said, look down at the catcher. He said, it ain't nothing until I say it is something. Wow. It ain't nothing until I call it something. Wow. I thought, oh, my goodness. That's the way it is in your life. It ain't nothing until you call it something. The devil puts a symptom on you and says, see, that's cancer. And you say, it ain't nothing until I call it something.
That's right. Come on. That's good.
It's zero until I call
it
something.
That's right. Yes, sir.
In other words, what you say has zero significance in this situation. Zero. It ain't nothing until I call it something. And just in case you're wondering what I'm calling it redeemed. That's what I'm calling it. I'm calling it healed. That's what I'm calling it. Whoa, does that hit you like it hit me whenever I saw that? The devil's going to deal you situations in life. You've been down the road of life a little bit. You know that. Well, I'm walking by faith. I'm not going to have any tests or trials. Well, you can't stand in faith for no tests and trials. Well, why can't I? Because the Bible said, Jesus actually said it. John 16, what is it, 34, 33, something like that. In this world, you will have tribulation. Not because of God, but just because the devil's here, you're here, and things are going to try to come up. Am I making any sense? So you're gonna experience things, but it's gonna be nothing until you say it's something. Amen. Whenever you have a situation come up in your life, people say, "What is it? What is it?" You say, "It ain't nothing until I call it something." I call myself delivered of this. I call myself redeemed. Hallelujah. I'm going to call myself blessed. Somebody said, "You don't have enough money." I call it a full supply. That's what I call my. I call myself fully supplied. Hallelujah. Yeah, but you missed it. I got it under the blood, so I call it forgiven. That's what I call it. I call it forgiven. Woo! The devil tried to call it something, but aren't you glad God didn't let you at his mercy and say, "Well, but he called it so, so it's so." Aren't you glad God gave you more authority in your life than the devil?
Yes, sir. Come on.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just because he said it doesn't make it something. And just because he says it over and over and over and over and over and over again doesn't make it more something. Hallelujah. It's got to be you that calls it. What the umpire in that story was saying was he really knew his place of authority in that game to determine the game and how it turned out. Do you know the authority in that you have in your life to determine the way it turns out? Okay, over here. Let me ask the question over here. Do you realize, just like that umpire? Outdo them over there. Do you realize the authority you have in the situations of life to determine how it comes out? Well, I've been saying it ain't nothing happening. You're going by what you see. What you cannot see is where it begins. It begins. I've been saying lately, there's things working for me that I cannot see. Things are working for me that I cannot see. Because I'm saying the right things. And so things are working that I cannot see. Rather than say, "Well, I don't see anything." No, I'm saying what I believe, whether I see it or not. The umpire was also saying he knew the responsibility he had to call it right. If it was a ball, you got to call it a ball. If it's a strike, you got to call it a strike. But see, in life, you got to call it right.
Yes, sir.
Amen. He knew the importance of his words were because he knew how important his words were because once he said it, the winner was established. Amen. He knew the authority he had to establish the winner.
Amen.
Say that word, established. You remember Job 22, what is it, 26, I believe. I don't remember. I got it written in here somewhere. It talks about you'll decree a thing and it'll be established unto you. That's because your words are significant. What if it's going the wrong direction? You can decree it the way God said it, and that's what will be established. Someone said, "I tried it and it didn't work." You got to hang in there. You got to just stick with it. You can't give up. Tell your neighbor, "Don't give up now." Amen. It's like getting something going and then stopping it. You got to keep it going, keep it going, keep it going. Hallelujah. So you have the authority to determine if Satan or God wins. It's all up to you. Depends on what you say about the pitch. The devil will pitch you some things in life and say, "Here's what this is." And you say, "No, this is what it is. This is healed." He'll say, "No, that's sickness." And you'll say, "By his stripes, I'm healed. I'm calling it right." Hallelujah. The devil can't win if you call it what he said. If he calls it one thing and you don't call it that, he can't win. Because you're an authority. You're the umpire. I love it. He'll pitch something to you and say, "Out." And you say, wait a minute. "It ain't nothing until I call it something." No. Authority hasn't spoken yet.
That's right.
It doesn't matter what the devil says. I'm the umpire in this situation. Ha, ha, ha. It's what you say that gets established, not what he says. You have the authority to determine that. Praise the Lord. So agree with God every single time. The devil throws you a pitch and says, "Out." You say, "I always triumph in Christ." He's like, oh, maybe I got to put more pressure on their flesh to make them feel out. And so he'll try to bring condemnation and all this stuff. You're out, you're out, you're out. And you say, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. It's what you say that stands. Here's what I love about God. If you agree with God and call it what he calls it, he will back you up when it's challenged and placed under review. Yeah, you know, in ball games, the ump will call something and the opposing team challenges it. They challenge it. Well, you call it what God calls it, and the devil's going to challenge that. He's going to say, "No, we need to challenge. We need a review. We need to check that out. We need to get the instant replay. Check it out." God will always back you up. We read it in Matthew 10:32. You say it on earth, I'll say it in heaven. The pitch is thrown. You say, I always triumph. The devil says, you're out. No, that wasn't a triumph. That was an out.
Come on.
You're out.
Come on.
You're out.
Uh-uh.
Strike, you're out.
No, come on.
No, I say, I always triumph in Christ.
That's right.
I say, I always win.
Always win.
Well, I need to review that, challenge that. And so God is the one. I spoke his word, and so he's the one who is authorized to say whether I'm right or the devil's right.
Amen.
And God and Jesus say, wait a minute, he's saying our words. Okay. We're the high. Jesus said, I'm the high priest of what he said. Hallelujah. And I'm the righteous judge of all the earth. So if he said our word, I'll back him up. The devil said, what is it? And God said, safe. He's victorious. He wins. And that's authority. The devil can fuss. He can poo-poo. He can cry. He can do all his stuff. But there's nothing he can do about it because we spoke God's word. Ha, 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 ha. He's watching over his word to perform it. Jesus said, you will have what you say. Not what the devil said. Thank God. That just rings in me tonight. I'm glad God didn't leave me to the mercy of what the devil said. What he said about it. Hallelujah. But see, you got to know the word to make this work. And you got to catch yourself whenever the devil throws you a pitch and says, out. You got to catch yourself from going, oh, man, and putting the bat down and walking off. You got to catch, wait a minute. Nope, I win. You can't give in to just what he says. You got to catch yourself. Hallelujah. You have to know the word to catch yourself. Amen. And so, in closing, you can look in your checkbook, and there isn't any money in there, and the devil say, you're broke, but you ain't broke until you say you're broke. Because the devil said it ain't nothing until you say it's something. I love this. Broke's not established in your life until you say broke. Hallelujah. So call it what God calls it. If you want you want what God has for your life manifested in your life, call what he calls it.
Amen.
You look in the checkbook and say, it says broke, and the devil says, you're out. And you go, my God supplies all my need according to his riches in glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's the way we're going to live. Tell your neighbor, we're developing faith in our own words. How many of you more, when you came in here, I mean, now after you've heard the word, you have a higher level of faith in what you say.
Absolutely.
It's important what you say. It is significant.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
People think have the idea, well, it doesn't really matter what you say. Well, can you see tonight? It is huge what you say. It's very significant. It has complete consequences.
Yes, sir.
Very big consequences. Father, we thank you. You can stand up with me. We thank you tonight for the truth. We thank you for the truth that makes us free. We're not just hearers of your word, Father. We're doers. So as we go from this place, our mouth will hold to your word. You told us in your word, hold fast to the confession of your faith. And so hold fast means hold real strong. Hold, not let it slip. And so, Father God, any areas any of us tonight have let slip, of our confession slip, we just say we turn from that, Father. We turn and start saying what you have to say to us. Oh, thank you, Father. You're a faithful God. Thank you, Father. You're faithful. You're faithful. Faithful. Faithful.
If you would like more information about Pastor Jay Everly's ministry, please visit us on the web at soffc.org or call us at 319-366-2147, or you can write to us at Spirit of Faith Family Church, Post Office Box 8355, Cedar Rapids, Iowa, 52408. And remember, God loves you, and you're equipped to live victoriously in every area of life.